Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number two, Zoe and Beetle. No Zoe, no Beetle. Yeah, you're stuck with a night show takeover. Jones and Arcan with you until 2 o'clock. 617-779-0985. Again, where we started the show, Danny Ainge is now paying Marcus Smart more to do less. Which, to me, you don't need to be Bill Belichick with his economics degree to do the math on that one. Paying someone more to do less, not a good deal. Not exactly good business there, right? And he's being paid more, $13 million a year, up from his rookie contract.
Negotiating against yourself, not necessarily a great tactic.
Well, there's that, too. So yeah. you're doubling his qualifying offer. It's up from his rookie deal to $13 million a year. So there's the paying more. I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. The playing less and doing less, I think, is a little less self-explanatory. And I have not really heard it framed this way. This occurred to me yesterday. You're not sitting any of your starting five in crunch time. Like, take a pick. Who's sitting down in crunch time when winning plays happen, which is ostensibly why you overpaid Marcus Smart?
Yeah.
To go out there and make winning plays in crunch time when winning happens, you know, so Grandy and Gorman can crow about it.
Wasn't for the jump shot.
No, it's certainly not. Certainly not. So who are you sitting down? Kyrie Irving? Jaylen Brown? Mm-mm. Jason Tatum? Teacher's pet Gordon Hayward?
Nope.
Al Horford? Like, who are you sitting down in crunch time? For Marcus bleeping Smart, who's, I don't know, your eighth guy? Like, you're sitting down one of your starting five now to get Marcus Smart out there for winning plays. And then let's say you are. Let's say you actually are. That is the plan. That's what Brad Stevens wants to do. Good luck explaining it to Kyrie, who already wants to leave, has one foot out the door.
And who's not a defensive liability, by the way, either, like Isaiah Thomas was. And it made sense to put Smart out
he's
there.
He's pretty close,
he's
though.
He's not a liability.
He's not as bad as Isaiah, but he's bad.
I don't think he's bad. I think he's average.
He is bad.
I considered Kyrie Irving an average defensive player.
He is below average. Mm. Bad defensively. Had a good start. Bad defensively.
Disagree.
He's not Isaiah. He's definitely not Isaiah. But he's not that much better than Harden, I don't think. Like
He's much better than Harden.
Not that much better. He's bad defensively. So again, on paper, it makes sense to sit him down. I get it. Oh, okay, you need some stops? Sit down Kyrie Irving for Marcus Smart. Yeah, and then you might as well buy Kyrie Irving his plane ticket to go play for the New York Knicks. Good luck with a disgruntled player who already has one foot out the door, sitting him down in crunch time. You going to do that with Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? Those guys are the future of your franchise.
And not defensive liabilities either.
No, I mean, especially Brown. You know, Brown is a good defensive. Brown got more all-defensive votes, shockingly, than Marcus Smart. So, what, you're going to sit down Jaylen Brown now? At the end of games, Jason Tatum's the future of the franchise. He's a future MVP candidate, okay? He's Paul Pierce. You're sitting him now for Marcus Smart, the eighth guy, flopping around and deflecting passes? What about Gordon Hayward, teacher's pet? You got to sit him down? Good two-way player. You're not sitting him down for Marcus Smart. So that occurred to me earlier today. You're paying him more to do less. On what planet is that good value? And we've also gotten into the Eastern Conference. Kawhi Leonard makes Toronto better. How much better? Are the Celtics still heavy favorites? Is it a choke if they don't get to the NBA Finals? All three of us think it is. I have not moved off that stance. Myself, Arcan, and Tim McCone all feel that way. One thing we haven't discussed a ton, Arcan, is something a caller brought up. The insurance policy of Marcus Smart to protect yourself against Kyrie potentially leaving in a year and Terry Rozier wanting too much money and either getting shipped out of town or also leaving in a year. Do you buy that that's part of what's going on with overpaying for Marcus Smart, overpaying to have a little bit of security?
Yeah, I think that may have something to do with it. I think that some strange strange timing, I guess. You know, if Danny Ainge thought that, okay, we'll have some chances here with Irving this offseason, which I never thought was in play, then, okay, it makes sense to wait 3 weeks before you want to negotiate with Marcus Smart and go beyond the qualifying offer. But even if that's the case, you know, even if that's really what you're trying to do, is Marcus Smart a good insurance policy for Kyrie Irving? Is he even a comparable player? I mean, I don't think that makes a lot of sense to
no,
me.
No, so I'm with you. And you know what my counter to that would be? Oh, well, he's a good insurance policy, and this just occurred to me. You know what my counter to that would be? Jordan Crawford.
Mm.
Evan Turner.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas. Shane Larkin. You got any more, McCone? You're nodding your head over
Wanamaker?
There. maybe Brad Wanamaker. Like, everyone can seemingly play point guard in this offense.
Oh, you can name anyone. Brad Stevens had success with anyone that's come into Boston since he's taken over at the point guard position. On top of it, you're talking about the deepest position in all of basketball, too. So I just think an overpay at that position is not a great look for Danny Ainge.
You know what, ironically, I just saw? Brad's guy, Shelvin Mack, just signed to a one-year deal with the Memphis Grizzlies. So guess what? Next free agency, you want to overpay for another good little Butler boy? You want to bring him in? There's your replacement. There's your security blanket. There's your insurance policy. So again, you're overpaying now for Marcus Smart when you had Shane Larkin and Evan Turner and Jordan Crawford all play well offensively at the point guard position for this team. You don't need to do that. 617-779-0985. Let's get back to your phone calls here. Chris is waiting patiently in Nashua. No, he's not, because I hung up on him. Damn it.
Took an hour.
Took a little over an hour. McCone, you know how many times I did that last night?
Was it a tough night for you?
I think I hung up on 5 or 6 different people last night.
including the guest.
Including a guest. I hung up on Jared Weiss last night.
Yes.
Damn it.
You know what? We had a good percentage of people call back. There,
I was so close to hanging up on the first caller of the day, by the way, and I caught it. This one I didn't catch. I hung right up on whoever that gentleman was. You can call back. I promise I won't. I don't promise.
Was that the Brady call? I wanted to hear what that guy had
there's
to say,
a good so, chance yeah. I won't hang up on you again. I think it was a Brady call, yes. 617-779-0985. Like, I said this last night, but just because it's a new audience, like I said this to Hardy off the air, too. Some hosts actually have talent. Some hosts actually have to, like, do things.
Which ones?
Like, Fred runs his own board. Rich Shurtleib is firing off his own audio over there. You know, Hardy's doing all kinds of stuff during the show. Like, even Arcan McCone, you guys are playing clips and audio and things at certain times. Like, you guys all actually do things. This is all I have to do. Outside of the takes, all I have to do is turn my mic on and off. That's it. And I have to put people on the air on the phones. That's it. That's my whole job. And I can't even do that. I continue to screw that up royally. Ugh, what an idiot. 617-779-0985. How's about Seamus in Malden? Go ahead, Seamus.
Hey, what's going on? So whoever answered the phone said, so what, you're mad at Jones? And I said, well, who is it? But no, honestly, you're the man, Jones. Honestly, so this is our first time over the luxury tax threshold, correct? So,
yes. Hang on. They're over it currently, but they can get under it by the trade deadline very easily by trading Marcus Morris or trading Aaron Baines or something like that. So they're not technically over it yet. They have until the trade deadline to get back under.
True, true. But the first time, if we did go over it, this would be the first time since what? The big three?
Yep.
Which was successful.
Yep.
It actually worked out for Boston.
Yep.
But back to one of those other callers, when he talked about Marcus Smart being like kind of insurance, I thought that was actually a really good point. I know what you guys were saying about the hand and everything. That actually had me dying laughing. But it's, I mean, he really could be good. And I feel like Terry Rozier is like a whole different type of player. I mean, you know, he can be an effective guard and everything. But like, you know, has been brought up so many times, Marcus Smart has that it factor for like a sixth man. He's a pest to other teams, you know. When he is, he's a pain in the ass to be on the court. It seems it's a pain in the ass to be on the court with him. So I just feel like he's effective, but I'll shut up and I'll listen to you.
Yeah,
guys.
Well, Seamus, what you said on your call screen line was that what's wrong with having a good sixth man?
Nothing.
Yeah, I would say nothing too. The problem, Smart's not your sixth man. I don't think. Like Rozier and Morris to me are more like sixth man types than Marcus Smart. So you have a good sixth man. You have a good seventh man. He's your eighth man. And I think it's a little stupid to overpay for that guy. That's what I think.
I mean, that's debatable, I guess, if he's the sixth, seventh, or eighth man.
I asked you this last night. Who would you, if the Celtics can only keep one, who would you rather keep, Rozier or Smart?
I think it'd probably be Terry Rozier.
So I
think it's harder to replace Terry Rozier than Marcus Smart.
Definitely Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
To me. But again, I
neither one of them are imminently irreplaceable, though.
I acknowledge this bias. I gravitate towards an offensive player in all sports. You know, I don't want the all glove center fielder in Jackie Bradley Jr., right? I don't want a guy who, you know, only gets back on defense like a Chris Kelly. He's not a two-way player. He's only defense, right? I don't want that. I need a little more offense. So I would skew an offense-only player over a guy who just gets back and gets in his own zone. Same thing in the NBA. So I feel like I'm consistent about this, and I acknowledge my bias here. So if I have a blind spot, then I have a blind spot. But I will always gravitate towards a player like Terry Rozier, who has actual skill, versus a player like Marcus Smart, who has hustle and plays defense. And those things can be taught. You cannot teach the offensive skill that Terry Rozier has. You can't do it. It's much more difficult anyway to replicate Terry Rozier's skill set than Marcus Smart's skill set.
Yeah,
much
I would agree. Difficult. Although I don't think Terry Rozier is a very difficult. I mean, there's a lot of point guards in the league who can score. Rare either.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Terry Rozier is rare or special. I just think he's more rare and special than Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
I'd much rather have Rozier than Smart. And by the way, I was the one kicking and screaming when they drafted Rozier. I hated that draft pick. I was booing Whit Grosbeck to his face when they made that draft pick. So I was wrong about that. Rozier's turned into a much better player than I ever could have imagined. And I just gravitate much more to that kind of player.
Has Marcus Smart become better than you could have imagined? Like, is he?
Is he?
Yeah.
You thought this is what they were getting with the sixth overall pick?
Pretty much. When it was Marcus Smart.
Was a guy who can't start?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not start.
I expected more.
In terms of his skill level and what he's going to bring to the team and sort of overall all of this, I didn't expect him to ever be a big-time scorer. I thought this is exactly the kind of player he would be.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I don't know if I expected him to be a big-time scorer ever. I definitely expected him to be a better offensive player than he's been, and I expected him to be, you know, starting caliber player. You're drafting in the top 10. That guy should start. And you could make the case that he could start for a lot of teams. Well, let's see. Maybe some bad teams. I don't know how many good teams he's starting on. He's a winning player, Jones. He's a winning player. Not really. When there was no talent around him, he wasn't a winning player. Oh, by the way, how many games did he win his first year in Boston? Not too many. Until they got Isaiah, he wasn't really a winning player. Until they brought in Kyrie and everyone else, he wasn't really a winning player.
Mm.
So I don't know. I mean, how many teams could he? He could start on Sacramento. He could start on Memphis. Did he start on any good teams? I don't know. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback. A lot of time here on the Celtics, the hierarchy in the East. Marcus Smart, what his role will be for this team? Because again, what's the point in debating whether or not he's overpaid? Spoiler alert, he's overpaid. Okay, so what's the point in debating that and running around and chasing our tails? What's his role going to be for this team? We've talked a lot about that today. I want to get into the New England Patriots, something Greg Bedard wrote about the Patriots for the Boston Sports Journal. And spoiler alert, again, things are not good for the Patriots. Things have not been solved with the Patriots. It is not fake news when you talk about the issues between Kraft and Belichick and Brady. We will get to that with all your phone calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
And Christian Arcand in for Zoe and Beadle as we take you up until 2 o'clock here on a Friday. It's what Zoe likes to call a getaway day, Arcand.
Right.
Getaway day. Although I think that only qualifies for him before a vacation. But for you and I, early weekend.
Yeah. Except early. I got to work tomorrow, but...
You know. So not an early weekend for
not
you and
necessarily.
I. Early no. weekend for Jones. But again, what am I doing? I'm not... It's not like I'm going anywhere or enjoying my time. I'm just out a little bit earlier. Gotta rush home to the kid. Is that what I'm doing? That's not exactly a fun weekend. 617-779-0985. We will get to all your feedback here. A lot of you waiting patiently on the Celtics. We've talked quite a bit, extensively, I would say, about Marcus Smart and his role on the team, which I think is being undersold. He'll be out there for crunch time. He'll be out there for winning plays. No, he won't. He better not be. If he is, that's a problem, because that means someone good is actually sitting down when the game's on the line. So we've talked a lot about that today, a little bit about the hierarchy in the Eastern Conference, a little bit about the insurance policy that Marcus Smart is or is not for this team. And again, you can jump in, 617-779-0985. I did want to address just briefly the Greg Bedard column at the Boston Sports Journal. We talked about it quickly last night, Arcand. You know, most of it to me is not new. And that's not piling on like the reporting of Bedard, who I think has been excellent on all this. Like, I thought the Gronk story that he had the other week, there's a lot of new stuff. And there's some new details in this that certainly catch your eye. And maybe it cements what we already thought we knew. So again, I don't want to poo-poo the reporting by any means. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I am saying is that we've been telling you this. I don't even need to be plugged in. I don't even need to be on the inside to know that things are bad between Kraft and Belichick and Brady. There has been zero progress, zero mending of fences. Nothing has happened in that regard. And I guess the question becomes, can they do it? Can they do it? Like, at some point, have you gone too far down the line? At some point, is there the point of no return where you can't fix it? And I'm not saying they're there yet, but I am starting to wonder. If it's gone on for this long, Christian, is it even something that can be salvaged? That's the question that I'm now starting to ask.
The relationship, can it be salvaged?
All
or
of
the
it.
Team can be salvaged?
Oh, well, No. So the team, I am wagering against the team getting to an AFC championship game. They've been there 7 years in a row. Like, it's their birthright to play in the AFC championship game. I'm wagering against that. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I would wager against it. I would also take the under on their Vegas win total, which I think is 11.5. I got them in the books for 10-11 wins this year. Okay, so I'm hedging bets a little bit against the team, or wagering against the team, I should say. But they're not going to crash and burn. They're not a mess. And I don't think they're at the point of no return necessarily as a team. I'm talking about the relationships. That's now my question. Okay, they're still not back together. When did this start? Did it start prior to last year? Has it been going on for a couple of years now? Did it really crystallize with Jimmy Garoppolo? We all found out about it in December of last year or January, whenever the Wickersham piece came out. Yeah, but Jones, ESPN lies. Seth Wick a scam. Yeah, how do you believe anything he has to say? Seth Wickersham told us all of this. Tom Curran continues to remind us. Now Greg Bedard continues to remind us. How long have they had to mend fences, Christian? And they haven't. They haven't at all. So I'm starting to wonder if it's something that can be salvaged. Like, at some point, a relationship hits a point of no return. You know, at some point, you need to break up. Like Belichick and Parcells needed to break up. They needed to get away from each other, and it took them decades to get to the point where they could tolerate and stomach sitting in the same room with one another for a 30 for 30 on ESPN. Like, it took forever, and even that was a little awkward.
Yeah.
At some point, a relationship just hits a point of no return. And I'm not saying they're there yet, but I do wonder, if they haven't fixed it yet, what are they waiting for? What are they waiting for?
I don't know. I don't know what Robert Kraft's waiting for, and I feel like this really comes down to him, doesn't it? I mean, you clearly have two sides in the locker room. You got the Belichick side and the Brady side, and you can throw Gronk onto the Brady side if you want to. But yeah, Robert Kraft, I think, picked his side. Made that very clear with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. And rather than, you know, sort of force everybody into a room and say, hey, let's get this done, let's figure this out, let's go into the season here and not have all these problems, it's just sort of sat there. I mean, it's just sort of lingered in the air. And I feel like Robert Kraft or Jonathan, whoever it wants to be, somebody from the organization, someone in the Kraft family has to say, all right, guys, what's going on? We got camp starting in, what, a week? Not even? Let's make some progress here. And that doesn't seem to have happened. I think that's a failure of leadership.
I saw this question posed on NBC Sports Boston, and I think it's interesting. Because you'll see, Christian, and Lord knows my timeline, these get forwarded anytime this happens. You know, Chris Long says, everything in New England's overblown. And I get I got a flooding in my timeline. See, Jones, see, it's not so bad. Chris Long said it, see? Okay. Hey, Danny Amendola said it's not so bad. It's all overblown. The turmoil in New England is overblown. My timeline. See, Jones, see, it's not that bad. You don't know. You don't know. You troll. You don't know. So who should we believe, Christian? Again, I saw this question posed on NBC Sports Boston. Who should we believe? Players like Long and Amendola, who are in the room. I mean, mm-hmm. they certainly have intimate knowledge of what goes on. But they're also compromised, right? I mean, are they going to sit there and throw their buddies under the bus? Are they going to throw the organization under the bus? Do we believe them, or do we believe media types like Curran, Bedard, Wickerscam? Maybe let's take him out of there, because no one's going to believe him around here. He's obviously a big fat liar. Curran, Bedard, like who should we believe? Should we believe the players like Amendola and Long, or media types like Curran and Bedard on this story, the issues, the turmoil, the dysfunction in New England.
Yeah, and it goes beyond Kern. I mean, Volan, Jeff Howe, all these guys, everybody's touched on it. It's certainly not a big secret anymore. Did you hear James Harrison, what he said? Harrison thinks it's all made up. James Harrison said, and I quote, all these stories that come out of the Friction, I honestly believe it's all made up. I came in there looking like, what am I going to see here? They have all this trouble just like everyone else. I get there. I see nothing. They're interacting. They're talking. But no Friction.
In fairness, how would he know?
Exactly.
He got there in December.
One player who's come out against this. Yeah. No other players even contested it.
You have no idea what it looked like before you got there. You know, he was there for a couple of months. Mm. So in fairness, how would he know? But if I add him to the list, if you want, like players in general, and I'm using Long and Amendola as examples. Hey, guys, nothing to see here. Turmoil's not that bad. Or do we believe people reporting on the team like Curran and Bedard? I'm firmly in that second camp. And I think it's important to remind listeners that those guys are not exactly bomb throwers. You know, Curran and Bedard are not exactly bomb throwers who are torching the organization for two decades.
Right.
You know, I think those are guys who should have your trust when it comes to reporting accurately on the team. And when they paint a picture of, hey, there's an issue. Hey, there's at least friction. There's turmoil. There's dysfunction. Whatever word you want to use. I like dysfunction. That happens to be the word that I like. Maybe it's a little strong. I believe them, certainly over the players who have their heads buried in the sand saying nothing to see here. I can't imagine there's nothing to see here when Tom Brady's skipping out on OTAs and making cryptic posts on his social media. I can't imagine there's nothing to see here.
Yeah, it's impossible for me to come to that conclusion either. For the most part, it really comes back to Belichick in the Super Bowl. I feel like every single player on that team still has some kind of lingering feelings about that. Tom Brady skipping OTAs, I think, sort of seeded the moral high ground for him. He used to be able to say, yeah, I do everything right. All I care about is the team and winning and this, that, whatever. And even Robert Kraft to a lesser extent with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation and the way he handled that. You're not Tom Brady's agent, Robert Kraft. You're the president and the owner of the New England Patriots. You should be doing what's best for that team. And the Garoppolo situation, I still feel today, was mishandled. So none of these guys really have any substantial leg to stand on here. I think that obviously Belichick's problem was the worst in blowing a Super Bowl because you don't want to play Malcolm Butler, but Brady not going to OTAs, that was a statement. Kraft making a statement about Garoppolo. All of these guys have sort of stepped in it a little bit over the course of this, and I just wonder, like, where's even the starting point? Where do you begin when you want to sit down and say, okay, let's hammer all this out? There's a lot still lingering.
Yeah, and look, they can do it. I wonder if they will do it. I wonder if they've hit a point of no return. The fact that it's been this long is shocking. Mm. It's shocking. 617-779-0985. You want to jump in on the Patriots? What do you think? Story overblown? You believe guys like Amendola and Chris Long? You believe guys like Bedard and Tom Curran that are telling you there's something to pay attention to? Again, 617-779-0985. And Arcan, I mentioned Tom Brady and his social media.
Yes.
Cryptic posts here and there. Tom Brady is getting absolutely filleted. And it's not because he's a little doughy. He's getting absolutely filleted. When it comes to his appearance, he's getting fat shamed, is what he's getting, Christian Arcan, for the latest photos that have emerged from Tom Brady in Costa Rica. And you know what? He's not going to take it anymore. He has fired back at the critics, or at least the TB12,
the haters'
social media account, has fired back. We will get to that with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985, right after the update from Tim McCone.
Sports Hub Headlines.
All right, Red Sox getting ready to take the field again as they visit the Detroit Tigers. David Price gets the start for Boston tonight. Detroit's going to counter with Matthew Boyd. First pitch set for 7:10. Red Sox have also made a roster move today, activating Andrew Benintendi from the bereavement list and optioning Sam Travis to Pawtucket. Jerry Krasnick, meanwhile, reporting that the Orioles, now that they've traded Manny Machado, are focused on dealing Zach Britton. Cubs, Giants, Astros, Phillies, Yankees, and Red Sox are all in the mix. NFL reports out that Julian Edelman will not appeal his suspension in the court system and will accept his 4-game suspension. So Edelman's set to miss the Texans, Jaguars, Lions, and Dolphins games to begin the year. Round 2 of the Open is underway in Scotland. Kevin Kisner's your leader at 7-under. He's 2-under through 13 on the day. Rory McIlroy 3 shots back. Tiger Woods even for the tournament. He finished today even. NBA minor trade this morning. Woj reporting at the Suns sending Jared Dudley and a 2021 second-round pick to the Nets for Darrell Arthur. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by World War II weekend at the Deerfield Fairgrounds, July 21st and 22nd. You won't want to miss this historic event. Get tickets before they sell out at MWMuseum.com. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can push it. 95, The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, it is Adam Jones and Christian Arcan with you until 2 o'clock on a Friday. We got your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We were kicking around the latest from Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, and I'll paraphrase for you. Basically, nothing's been solved between Kraft and Belichick and Brady. Nothing's been resolved. They all still don't agree. Friction, turmoil, it all reigns supreme when it comes to that triumvirate in New England. And maybe they'll solve it. Maybe they'll get things sorted out. But they still haven't. And it's been, what, at least 7 months? 7 months? It's longer than that, probably. It probably goes back to Garoppolo. Maybe it even predates that. And they have nothing. Nothing solved. Nothing figured out. To the point where now Bill Belichick is still bristling at Robert Kraft siding with Tom Brady. And, you know, Tom Brady's not thrilled with how things have been handled. And Robert Kraft obviously doesn't love the idea that no one agrees down there. It continues. The dysfunction continues. So, again, my question to all of that is, well, one, what? You thought it was gone away? It had gone away just because they aren't down there with OTAs and they're not down there with mini camps and things like that? Did fans forget? It's all still very real. It all still exists. And secondarily, is it something they can solve? Can you figure that out? And I guess the answer to that is, yeah, they can. Will they? Will they get that sorted out is another discussion. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, Arcan, I don't know if you've noticed any of the very mean-spirited tweets out there when it comes to Tom Brady down in Costa Rica with Gisele Bündchen. How would you describe... How would you describe he looked in some of those photos?
I would describe him as looking more like me than him, I would say. And people are like, oh, where's his six-pack? He's got a belly. Now, it doesn't have a belly. It's the upper section that I'm most concerned with. It's the lack of pecs.
There's
like Brady always had pecs. Yeah. Now he's kind of got I don't even know what to call him, a little sag going on there.
Yeah, a little boobage.
Yeah, a little bit, you know, standing next to Gisele, there's not a lot of difference up in the top shelf there these days. But I look at that and I just sort of think, well, you know, is it the TB12 method? Is it because he's not working out as much? Is it because he skipped OTAs? Or maybe he's off the food regimen. That's what I'm sort of struck by. Because you don't eat all the foods that Tom Brady eats and not eat all the bad foods that Tom Brady doesn't eat and that encourages everybody not to eat and still sort of pack that on. You know what I mean? Like, that has to come from somewhere. That comes from you know, bread and pizza and sandwiches and things like that. Like, that's how I acquired these babies right here. Like, how did Tom Brady get them? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's skipping OTAs. Maybe it's more diet-related. As you said, Arcan, maybe he's 40 plus years old and spending time with the family means less time working out and it means less time staying in shape and it means more cheating when it comes to his diet. And it means that, hey, maybe he started to say, hey, you know what? The end's in sight and I'm not going to bust my ass as much as I have in the past. You know, he's letting himself go like most of us do later in life. Maybe that's what's going on.
It's summertime. You want a clam roll once in a while. I want some fried clams. You know, that's not in the TB12 book.
You want something nice, so Brady's treating himself to it. Once you open that floodgate, it's hard to get back. I'd imagine when you're very disciplined and then you start getting a little undisciplined, it's hard to get all the way back.
Sure.
That's what I would imagine. That's what I've experienced in my own life. So anyways, you know, you hear a lot of Tom Brady's getting fat shamed. Poor Tom Brady. And I see some of this commentary and are we supposed to feel bad for Brady? That an actual picture of him, it's a picture of him. Someone created that picture out of thin. It's a picture of Tom and he looks a little puffy. He looks a little doughy, a little flabby. There's a little something going on. As Arcan said, upstairs, there's a little something going on.
Yeah. Not up on the balcony.
not even just a little muffin top down there. No, there's a little something going on up in the balcony, to which, again, who am I to cast stones?
That's how I knew.
At Tom Brady.
It's like I was looking in the mirror.
Like, look at me. Like, I'm no better off. In fact, I'm worse off. So who am I? But I'm also not the person sitting here trumpeting my lifestyle and shoving in your face that this is how you eat, this is how you do it. And not just for a high-level athlete, but for anyone out there, this is how you do it. So someone who is so high profile and someone who is so over the top about their lifestyle and so in your face about their lifestyle, I have it figured out. I have the keys. You do this, you'll look like this. I don't know. You see him in Costa Rica and you're like, it's not exactly the greatest marketing tool for TB12. And on top of that, Men's Health magazine yesterday tweets out that Tom Brady does not need to be ripped to get results. Okay. The TB12 account. I'm not sure who runs that. I'd imagine it's probably the same people who run the TB Times.
I think it's probably Guerrero.
You think it is?
Or like an intern, one of Guerrero's interns, something like that. I have the feeling that he has like editorial control over
the
TB12.
It could be less of Tom's guys and more of Guerrero's guys. I understand they probably have a lot of the same guys, but right.
Sure.
Maybe it's someone more from Guerrero's circle, if you will, than Brady's circle. And I understand the Venn diagram of those. There's probably a lot of overlap. TB12 fires back. When it's important, when it's more important to get six rings than to get a six pack, .. The TB12 method is not about making you the MVP of the gym. It's about living with vitality, being mentally strong, and enabling you to sustain your peak performance so you can be MVP when it counts. You know, I would also say that, you know, being in shape might have something to do with that. Being in peak physical form has something to do with that. And I don't know. It looks like he's cut a few corners. If we should feel bad to say that, then I guess we should feel bad to say that. But I don't know. It doesn't look like Tom Brady's been in the same shape he's been in past seasons. And oh, by the way, when you start skipping out on OTAs, they're voluntary. But when you start skipping out on those, should we be surprised? He looks a little different.
Yeah, I was really surprised when he posted that video of his son chasing him down and sacking him during their warmups in the backyard. I thought that was a little much, but
yep.
You know. Listen, 41-year-old guy, you can't expect him to look like Adonis for his whole life. And it's also Tom Brady here, who you remember in his combine video, that looked about like he does now. I mean, that's what he looks like more. Because the Tom Brady, 22-year-old, 2000
Tom Brady. House and pitchers and eating 10-cent wings.
Yeah, I mean, That's who he looks like now. He looks like that guy from the combine video standing there in his boxers running the slowest 40-yard dash you've ever seen in your life. Like, that's sort of it from a visual perspective anyway, like kind of what we're back to. And that's what has me wondering about the diet. But again, you know, I really, as much as it's like fun to sort of bat this stuff around and yeah, there's Tom Brady on the beach with his supermodel wife and oh, he's got a dad bod now and da-da-da-da-da. Like, you know, camp's coming up. That's when guys get into shape. I don't think he's so terribly out of shape that it's going to affect anything. And you know what? Week one comes around, he'll probably be back to his old self. That's my prediction.
Well,
anyway.
I'm not so sure about that. Like, these are the things I wonder. Like, week one, he's going to be back to himself week one? Maybe it takes him a little time to play his way into shape. And maybe by the time he's played his way into shape, he's a little behind the eight ball. And maybe by then, he's still trying to get chemistry sorted out with these bum receivers. Jordan Matthews and Cordarrelle Patterson and guys like this, while Julian Edelman is suspended for those first four games of the year. And oh, by the way, we do have some Julian Edelman news. Julian
yes.
Edelman, thank God, praise the Lord, Julian Edelman will not be taking this to federal court. It was a threat. It was some leverage created by his superstar lawyer, which, by what'd that guy do? What did superstar lawyer do? Oh, by the way, Edelman got his four-game suspension. He's not taking it to federal court.
That lawyer got his name in the paper. That's what he did.
I guess. Yeah. I guess. And he sowed the seeds of doubt that maybe Edelman didn't fail his test, even though he's going to miss the entire month of September. We'll get to Edelman with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. We'll do it next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere, balls everywhere, balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on high noon here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zoe and Beetle. Without Zoe, without Beetle, you know what goes down at noon on this program on Fridays, Arcan, don't you?
I believe they play a song.
Will Josie come in the way
right
at the top of the hour? I got some thoughts on that. We can get to it. 617-779-0985. 0985. I also want to get to Julian Edelman. We do have some new. He will not, thank the Lord, praise God, he will not be taking this to federal court, because I honestly couldn't have handled that. I really could not have handled that. In the meantime, though, let's knock out a few phone calls before we get to Edelman. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Chris in Nashua. This is, I accidentally hung up on you earlier, Chris. My apologies. I've done that to honestly like 10 people in the last two nights, so sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, because I definitely listened to you last night. You were definitely killing him last night with hanging up on him. But
it was a bloodbath last night.
It really was.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring up Edelman, because that's part of the reason of my telephone call, is that this goes into the Brady picture. And, you know, I find it funny that, you know, Edelman gets popped for a PED that the NFL had no idea what it was. It was, you know, it raised a red flag. They'd never seen it before. And then he got popped for that. And Guerrero was the first one to get out in front of it before anyone even knew that it was undetectable, what it even was. He puts a statement out there. So this leads into my Brady picture, is that you call it a diet, you call it what you want. To me, he's cycling off of whatever Edelman was on. I mean, that's first and foremost. I mean, you can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't go from throwing 500 yards in the Super Bowl, filming Tom versus Time, looking tight, not cut, but looking tight in the Amazon with Giselle, to looking like my uncle at the barbecue. No way.
So, Chris, so look, do we know that Brady's on anything? No. I mean, no idea. But is it fair to look at someone in that camp, Brady and Guerrero's camp, getting popped, Julian Edelman, for something that had previously been undetectable?
I think that's not exactly right.
The testers finally caught up to it. Something that they weren't ready for.
It didn't have a name. It wasn't a certain, like, it wasn't like a designer steroid or anything like that. But the chemical composition of it triggered the thing. It just didn't have a name.
So here's how I would phrase it. There was a way around the testing, and the testers finally caught up.
Right.
You know, the example I've used previously, Arcan, I don't know if this was with you or not, is when all of a sudden, like, you know, in college, people would have fake IDs. And sooner or later, the bars are going to catch up to your fake IDs. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, it swipes, and you can read it under a black light and all these things. But sooner or later, the bars are going to catch up, and no one's going to be getting into the bar, right? At some point, that's going to happen. And when it does, everybody's getting shut down. So I think that's what happened with Julian Edelman. Okay, I think whatever had previous, and that doesn't mean Edelman's been taking it his whole career, just athletes have been getting away with whatever Edelman was on. It's, hey, the testers don't know about this. There's an easy way around the test. And finally, the testers caught up, so we got popped. I mean, that's what I think. So someone in Brady and Guerrero's camp gets popped. Is it fair to wonder how the quarterback who's almost 41 and was MVP of the league last year, is it fair to look at that and go, what are they doing over there? Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
And I think a lot of people...
That's not accusatory. That's just... You have to use your brain and raise your... arch an eyebrow, as Tom Curran likes to put it, over at NBC Sports Boston. If you don't look at TB12 with an arched eyebrow after Julian Edelman got popped, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. And you know what really did it for me was Guerrero's statement, like the caller said. That came out before Edelman said anything. Before Julian Edelman even addressed the fact that he was facing a 4-game suspension and was trying to appeal it, Alex Guerrero comes out with a statement, super defensive. We do everything right here. We do everything legally. I'm very disappointed in Julian. I mean, it went on and on and on. And it was before Edelman even addressed it. And I just saw that and thought, you know, if you don't want to be associated with this, this is an odd way of going about that, isn't it? Like an immediate statement for a guy who's not even a full-time TB12 person. I mean, you know, you remember that video of them all making fun of him for lifting weights and all that other stuff? Like, he's not, you know, completely bought in. He's not like Brady and Gronk and some of these other people. He does it. He uses it. But, like, you know, Guerrero was very, very quick on the trigger there. I mean, he jumped right into the fray and said, nope, wasn't me. I didn't do anything. You know, like the guy who runs into the police station covered in blood going, I didn't kill anyone. Like, what do you mean? We didn't think you did. We didn't accuse you of that yet. Like, maybe we were going to. We'd look into it and investigate it, but you're gonna run in and try and nip this that far in the bud. That was suspicious to me.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's the guy who runs in covered in blood. You know,
it wasn't me.
All of a sudden, there's a fart smell in the room. And you're, it wasn't me. Yeah. Who was that? I don't know who that was. Who? What are you talking about? What? Who? Me? No way. What are you? Me? It was a little suspicious at how defensive Guerrero was.
Did you see this tweet of Brady's body through the years? Because it's pretty good. We just got tagged in a tweet of Brady's body through 2000, 09, 15, 17, 18. This is...
did we?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I think one of these pictures looks like it's of Aaron Rodgers, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, that's...
What do you mean, whatever? That seems like that's not a very good... That can't be a very good picture, then.
If it's got Aaron Rodgers in there. 5 out of 6 are Tom Brady, but I think the one on the bottom left, that looks like Aaron Rodgers to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
So describe it to the people.
Okay, so in 2000, we all remember Brady standing there in his boxers at the Combine. Certainly not a lot of definition there. 2009, there's a picture of him standing up on a balcony somewhere. It looks like he's in pretty good shape there. You know, got the guns out, sun's out. 2015, him walking down the beach. I don't know when, if that was taken in the offseason. It must have been. Not much going up top. 2017, walking down the beach, and then, of course, 2018. The point of the tweet was to say that the Brady body has been consistent over the last 3 or 4 years. I would say, sure, maybe a bit. It seems like those
09 and 15 bodies are looking pretty popping.
09 and 15, yeah.
09 he's got, and 15, he is.
He's got the glamour muscles going there.
He's popping a little.
You know, he's got the gutters down by the pelvis. I mean, it's all working out for him now. 2018, I mean, there's a difference. You can see
2017, maybe he's looking pretty similar to 2017. I'll give this individual that. And 2000 Brady is just ridiculous. 09 and 15, that's a tight Brady right there. That is a tight popping Brady. 617-779-0985. Just to close the loop, by the way, on Julian Edelman.
That is Aaron Rodgers in the 2015 picture, right?
In the bottom left, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know what that's doing in there. I think that kind of weakens the individual's case.
A little bit.
Just to close the loop, briefly here on Julian Edelman, and again, thank God, he's not going to take this thing to federal court. But we found out today from Tom Pelissero he will not be taking this to federal court. Julian Edelman will not follow Tom Brady into federal court after an arbitrator recently upheld his PED suspension. Edelman decided not to sue the league, per source. He'll focus his energy on football and preparing for Week 5 to return, ready to compete on the field. So I asked earlier, and the answer is actually pretty obvious. I asked earlier, what did the lawyer do? What did the big superstar lawyer do? He's not suing the league. He's not going after anyone. He certainly didn't get the suspension overturned. What did this big, flashy lawyer do? What he did was he cast doubt among the people that it's important to cast doubt among. Mm-hmm. The Patriots fans. Oh, well, it's all a witch hunt. They're just looking to frame him. Did you hear? The league didn't even know what he tested positive for.
Alex Spiro is the guy's name, by the way.
The lawyer?
Yeah.
The big, flashy lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he brought him in to cast doubt. He brought him in to, you know, create confusion and say, well, no, it's not exactly the case. This is not what my client exactly did. Meanwhile, the league upholds the 4-game suspension and Edelman doesn't want to fight it. Just like Brady eventually dropped his fight. If you're innocent, why do you drop the fight?
Yeah.
You know, if you're really, and not that I'm telling Edelman to go fight this thing out, but again, that should tell you enough. If Edelman really felt wrong here, you fight this, right? If Brady really didn't do anything, you fight it tooth and nail as far as it'll go. You don't drop it. So I think that speaks volumes, quite frankly.
You know who that lawyer is representing right
about
now?
About the guilt or innocence of Julian Edelman. Who?
Charles Oakley for trying to cheat in Vegas at the craft table.
Oh, he's representing him
was.
For that?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I still think that's like the bravest card dealer of all time. If Charles Oakley started, if I was working in a casino,
mm-hmm.
and Oakley wanted to pull back a $100 chip, you know what I do? I look the other way.
Yep.
I take $100 out of my own pocket. That's a lie.
Here you
I'd
go,
have
Charles.
To go to the I'd have to go to the ATM and go get $100. I'd have to scrape together $100, and I would make sure that my table lined up at the end of the night so that I don't get, you know, my knees broken off by a pit boss or something
sure.
like that. But I'd rather take $100 of my own dollars and just ignore that Charles Oakley is pulling back a $100 chip than get my face punched in by Charles Oakley.
Yeah. Unless you got Joe Pesci working at your casino, you don't want that kind of smoke.
Very brave card dealer.
Yeah.
Card dealer. Very brave. 617-779-0985. So there's the latest on Julian Edelman, the latest on the Patriots. We can get to your phone calls. Again, 617-779-0985. We do have a bit of an update on Kyrie Irving from Steve Bulpett of the Boston Herald. Let's get to that right after the headlines from Tim McComb.